Today's daf in Gittin is Samech. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lona Zechon Ishmael Slipik, Arviela Bashmuel. We begin today on Nuntesimut Beis. We are discussing the Mishnah and various takanas that were made. The Mishnah changed a little bit, shifted a little bit. Mishnah is using now the terminology of Darchei Shalom. Darchei Shalom, not exactly sure what the difference is between Tikkun Olam and Darchei Shalom, but Darchei Shalom basically means keep the peace. There are a number of occasions where people can erupt in some fighting, and the Chachamim understood that, so they issued various takanas were there to keep the peace. So the first thing mentioned on the Mishnah on the bottom of the Testament Aleph, in yesterday's daf, was the aliyahs. So you go to shul and you get aliyahs, and it's wonderful, it's beautiful, and sometimes it's unfortunate. You see fighting erupt over aliyahs that were given. So the I tell you the truth, I haven't seen that many, but generally speaking, I guess it's shvach for the shul, but generally people are pretty good. Anyway, but I've heard stories and people fight over aliyah. So what do you do? So the chachamim are saying that there's going to be an order. First aliyah is going to be given to Cohen. Second aliyah is given to Levi, and the third aliyah is given to Yisrael. Now obviously on Shabbos there are seven aliyahs, so there is what to fight about. And look, the Darchei Shalom can reduce the fighting. It's not going to eliminate the fighting. So that was instituted in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah put this as one of the first examples that are given in Darchei Shalom. For the remainder of today's daf, we're going to be discussing aliyahs and Sefer Torah. So that's really the totality of today's daf. It's easy to remember. Today's daf is Samech. You can, just as a mnemonic, you could put in your head a Sefer Torah. But anyway, that's the discussion that was had. The Gemara's question yesterday, which the Gemara asked and we're about to answer, is the following. Well, the Mishnah makes it sound like this is Darchei Shalom, meaning this is a special institution put together by the Chachamim that the Kohen should get the first Aliyah. To which the Gemara basically asked yesterday, what do you mean a special institution made by the Chachamim? There's a mitzvah deraisa v'kidash shom. We know that we have to be mekadesh ha-kohanim whenever there's a Kohen, so you have to give the Kohen first. You have to, when there's a speaking part, Kohen has to go first. When there is an opportunity for benching, Cohen has to be offered first. When there's an aliyah, Cohen has to be offered. In other words, it's a din d'oraisa that the Cohen has to be offered first. So how do you understand our Mishnah? When the Mishnah describes that this is only a tikkun olam, Darchei Shalom institution by the Chachamim. Good, that's the question that we asked. And so I was in the middle of a sentence answering it, so we're going to pick it up where we left off yesterday on Nun Tesim and Beis, right in the middle of the Amud. So, Tan de Beir Rabbi Shmuel, we're going to start again, right in the middle of the Amud. The Gemara quotes the Braisa, V'kidash Sholach Chol Davar Shebekdusha, Leftoch Rishon, Levarach Rishon, Lito Mani Yafeh Rishon. So everything by the Kohen is Rishon. He's first. So he always gets priority. So of course by the Aliyahs is going to get priority. So Amalei Abale Rav Yosef Mimi Darchei Shalom Daraisi. So the Gemara says, the Gemara asks exactly this question. How could you call it Darchei Shalom? This is a din daraisa. Amalei daraisa umimnei Darchei Shalom. So the Gemara's answer is, well, maybe you can argue that it's Darchei Shalom, and that's what the Torah wants. The Torah wants Darchei Shalom. So the Gemara says, kol Torah kula nami mimnei Darchei Shalom. To which the rebuttal to that is, what do you mean? Every mitzvah in the Torah is fundamentally principled on Darchei Shalom. The dechsev Darchei Nam v'chol nesiv osei Shalom. The Navi describes how the entire Torah is rooted in Darchei Shalom. So it can't tell me now that our Mishnah is only highlighting the Aliyahs and the Kedushas Kahuna and our need to give them the first Aliyah because of Darchei Shalom. That's true by every mitzvah in the Torah. Elam Rabbi Lechadamar Detanya Shnayim Mamtin Azela Zebekara Shloshe Mamtin. So the Gemara says we're going to say like this. This is going to be now a bias pshat in our Mishnah, meaning of course there's a din of Vikidashto when it comes to the Kohen, and of course it's a din daraisa. But let's consider the following. Step one, we have a brisa. The brisa says shleim mamtin zela zebekara. Okay, you sit down on the table and you're ready to eat. So yeah, if there are two people at the table, so they should. This is like derech eretz. The Gemara in seventh parak of Brachos brings down this Gemara as well. So from mitam derech eretz. So don't start taking from the bowl before the other person got back to the table. If there are two people, just I guess the best way to say it is common courtesy. Wait till the other person gets back to the table, then and only then can you start taking from the bowl. give everyone an equal opportunity at the food. The Shlosha Mamtinin, however, if there are three people and two people are already at the table, the two people don't have to wait for the one person. That's not necessary. Habotzehu Posha Yadot Chilam, the one who's Botzeh, the one who literally breaks the bread, meaning he's the one making motzi. So Posha Yadot Chilam, so he takes from the bread first. Now, if you want, let's say there's a Rebbe, let's say there's a Talmud Chacham, and you want to extend a cover to that individual, so by all means, the Braisa says, you have every right to do so. V'amamar Allah. Now, on that Braisa, we have another comment, which is, Loshan Ola B'Suda. That's only true when it comes to Suda V'Abebeza Knesses Lo, Dasulin Suye. Ah. So now, finally, we're going to now say Pshat in our Mishnah. When it comes to Seuda and the halachos of Seuda, right, the Derech Eretz halachos of Seuda, so you want to be lachlo kavod l'rabbo, you have your rabbi there and you're a kohen, and you say, look, I know I'm a kohen and I know I should be getting first, but I have a rabbi, I have a talmid chacham over here. So when it comes to hilchos Seuda, you can defer. And you can basically say, good, give it to him. Masha Enkin, when you're in shul, and now it's Aliyahs and it's Kriyas HaTorah, you can't defer. So even though, generally speaking, a Kohen has the right to be honored first, but also the right of deferment, when it comes to Shul, the Kohen does not have a right to defer. The Gemara says, that's the Pshat in our Mishnah. Darchei Shalom is going to institutionalize that the Kohen gets the first Aliyah and the Levi gets the second Aliyah, and that's it. Meaning, and don't change. And even though you could defer, but don't. And that was institutionalized for Darchei Shalom.
That means they defer to Yisrael or to
whoever. No. Well, you'll see. First of all, I know the Gemara coming up, so you'll see. It could be anyone. Yeah. So the Ava Bebeisa Knesses Lo Dasa Linsui. I'm Rav Masta Hadam Rav Bebeisa Knesses Lo Lomar Nala B'Shabasas V'yamim Tovim Dishchichi Rabim Ava B'Shein V'Chamishi Lo. So the Gemara says, now, even though we said that this is institutionalized, where? On... that the Kohen has to go first, and the Kohen cannot give it up for somebody else. That's true on Shabbos. Shabbos, a lot of people coming to shul. But Mondays and Thursdays, when you don't have a lot of people coming to shul, this is what Gemara says, Mondays and Thursdays, where you don't have a lot of people coming to shul, so there's not going to be that much fighting, right? The Aliyah is not in front of that many people. You're right, you have basically a minion, and that's about it. So there, you don't have to follow the Darchei Shalom institution of Kohen first, Levi second, Yisrael third. Just as an interesting point over here, Tosfos, the second Tosfos on the Amud, he says, Omar Rabbeinu Chananel, so already times changed a long time ago in terms of attendance in shul. So Rabbeinu Chananel says, even though Bizman HaGemara Mondays and Thursdays shul was not well attended, I know this is interesting, Mondays and Thursdays Bizman HaGemara shul was not well attended, but already by the time of Rabbeinu Chananel, right, Legon, early Rishon, so attendance in shul was much higher on Mondays and Thursdays, and he's of the opinion that Bizmanenu, I don't mean our day, I mean now about 1,000 years ago, Bizmanenu, the same laws apply on Mondays and Thursdays as well. Institutionalized, Cohen's first, Levi second, and Yisrael third.
Just saying Monday and Thursday because that's the day of Mondays, and that's why instituted the meeting. That's why there more people were there.
So okay. I understand. I know, but I'm just, I'm saying simple pshat in the Gemara. So Vabashem Bechemishilo. Ini, the Gemara says, now we're back to the Gemara, second to last narrow line. The Harav Huna Kari Bekahani B'Shabbosos V'Yamim Tovim. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. We also know that Rav Huna got the first Aliyah, and he got it on Shabbos and Yantiv. So now the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Now I'm a little bit lost. You said that on Shabbos and Yantiv as a chok velo yavor, institutionalized that the Kohen should get the first Aliyah. Rav Huna is not a Kohen. Rav Huna got the first Aliyah. Gemara says, I'm patently confused. What's going on? So Shani Rav Huna, Dafilo Rabbi Ami, V'Rav Asi, Kahani Chashi, V'Der Tishol, Mechava V'Chayf Alei. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna was the undisputed Gadol Hador. You had Kohanim who were Tamid HaChachamim. Kohanim who were Tamid HaChachamim would still subject themselves to Rav Huna. So Rav Huna was an undisputed Gadol Hador. So there, the Kohen can, and it sounds like from the Gemara, should defer to the undisputed Gadol Hador in terms of giving him the first Aliyah. Amar Abaye. Okay, so that's the end of the basic mahalach of the Gemara in terms of how to understand our Mishnah. How can it be that our Mishnah says that given Kohen first is a Darchei Shalom institution? It's not. It's the Din D'Oraisa. So the basic mahalach of the Gemara is that yes, you should give the Kohen first, but he can defer, and Darchei Shalom says that he shouldn't defer. And even on that, the Gemara has one final point, which is that if you have an undisputed Gadol Hador who's living in your community and he's going and it's Shul, so he should get the first Aliyah. He should get the first Aliyah because there won't be fighting. He's undisputed. Now, if he's a disputed Gadol Hador, or you know, in other words, if he's a Talmid Chacham, where there now you can make chiluk and well, shouldn't give him. Maybe you should give somebody else. So then at that point in time, now you go back to Darchei Shalom, which of course is the standardized Kohen Levi Yisrael. Okay. Amar Abaye, second wide line on the Amud, Naktinan, we have the following tradition. Ein Sham Levi Kore Kohen. So the I'm sorry, what did I do? I skipped. Yes, I did. So Amar Abaye, first wide line, thank you. So Amar Abaye, Naktinan Ein Sham Kohen is part of Chavila. Okay. So if you don't have a Kohen, so the bundle has been untied. Okay, now, so I understand what the Gemara means, but what exactly practically does that mean? So you don't have a Kohen, obviously you're not going to follow the order of Kohen Levi Yisrael. That part's clear. This part of Chavila, the bundle's undone, meaning, so okay, we don't have to follow protocol. But what exactly does that mean? So Rashi here brings down two pshatim. So let's take a look at Rashi inside. I'm going to read the Rashi inside. It's part of Chavila. Nifsak HaKesher. Ibed HaLevi Es Kvodo B'Shvil Chavila Soh HaNifredes Ve'eno Kore Klal. So Rashi says the first pshat, which is, that's it, everything is undone. Rashi's language is, you lost everything. Ibed HaLevi Es Kvodo B'Shvil Chavila Soh HaNifredes. So he lost all of his kavod, meaning the first pshat in Rashi is that really the Levi is just, his kedusha is noveya from the Kohen. Once the Kohen is not there and the Kohen's not getting an aliyah, so then what's the point of a Levi getting an aliyah? The kedusha of the Levi is noveya from the Kohen. So there's no Kohen, that's it, nothing. The Eino Kore Klal, and you don't call up the Levi, says the first pshat in Rashi. Kach Amar Mori Azakin Amar Rav Yitzchak Ben Yehuda V'chein Tzidah Rav Amram. And he quotes the number of his Rebbeim, including Rav Amram, in his Siddur, who states this as the Pshat in our Gemara on the Sparta Chavila. Ava mitamide Mari Rabbi Yitzchak Alevi. But I heard from another one of my Rebbeim, Shemati Mishmo She'ein Seder Ladavar Lahaktim Levi LiYisrael Umishi Yirtziyaktim. The other Pshat is no. At that point in time, you can pick whoever you want. And included in whoever you want, of course, could be a Levi. But in other words, this part of Chavila just simply means there's no longer a Seder, and at that point in time, you could choose. But you could choose whoever you want. So those are the two pshatim with Rashi of what happens when there's no Kohen. So again, the Gemara says this part of Chavila, which means that obviously we know that the bundle's undone. And that means what? So pshat number one in Rashi is, and that you don't give to the Levi at all. Meaning the Levi loses all deference, and it sounds like for the first pshat in Rashi that you shouldn't even have a Levi go up there. The second pshat in Rashi is that no. Rashi says once there's no Kohen, so then it's a dealer's choice. You can choose whomever you want.
The Levi can go up
after you saw it. According to the second pshat. Right. In terms of the halacha, so here the halacha respects both positions within Rashi. Basically, it's the minhag of the makom in terms of which way to go. The first pshat in Rashi and the second pshat in Rashi. So the halacha is not absolute on these terms. Ve'amar Abaye Naktinan Ein Sham Levi Kari Kohen. Now, what if there's no Levi? So in other words, you called up a Kohen for the first Aliyah. Good. Now you're up to the second Aliyah and there's no Levi. So what do you do then? So you have a Kohen read. So the Gemara says, "Ini va'amar Rav Yochanan Kohen." Acher Kohen lo yikra mishum pigam shel Rishon, Levi acher Levi lo yikra mishum pigam shnehem. So the Gemara says, well, consider the following. We know that if you call up a Kohen and then you call up another Kohen, so that's going to speak poorly about the first Kohen. Meaning, what was wrong with the first Kohen? First Kohen, didn't he get just an Aliyah? And now you're calling up a second Kohen? Oh, must have been that somewhere between the first Aliyah and second Aliyah, we must have learned something about the first Kohen. So, right, something whispered into the Gabbai's ear about the first Kohen. And now, so what are we going to do? Oh, so let's call up another Kohen. So the Gemara says, so you shouldn't do that. Don't call up a Kohen, follow them by a Kohen. Furthermore, don't... Okay. So don't call up two Levim, because you call up two Levim, it speaks poorly about both of them. So the Gemara says, ki amrinan bo so Kohen. So the Gemara says, fine, you're right. meaning, of course, I'm not going to call up another Kohen after the first Kohen, because the Enachinami, it's going to speak poorly about the first Kohen. What was wrong with him? Enachinami, you're right. What we mean by this is that I'm going to call up a Kohen, and if there's no Levi, the same Kohen is going to be called up for the second Aliyah. That's what I meant. So, Maishan Levi Achalevi Di'ika Begam Shneem. So the Gemara says, now, well, let's just, good, we have shot, but let's just consider the following. In what we just learned in this Brisa is that if I call up back-to-back Levium, it speaks poorly about both of them. If I call up back-to-back Kohanim, it only speaks poorly of the first one, not the second one. What's the difference? So the Gemara says, Maisha Levi Achalevi Di'ika Begam Shneem Da Amri Chad Minayu Lav Levi Hu Kohen Acher Kohen Nami Amri Chad Minayu Lav Kohen Hu. So the Gemara says, I don't understand the difference between the cases, why in the Levium it speaks poorly about both, but by the Kohen only speaks poorly about the first. So the Gemara says, Kigon De Muchzak Lamba Avua De Hai Sheni De Kohen Hu. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the scenario is in this Brisa where we, the second Kohen, everybody knows he's good. Everybody knows that that is an undisputed, no problem with the yichus whatsoever type of Kohen. And under those circumstances, so now we all know that the second Kohen was good. It's just now a question of, hey, what was the story with that first Kohen? That's what the Brisa is speaking about. The Gemara says, Hachinami de Muchzak Lamba Avua, de Hai Sheni de Levi Hu. So the Gemara says, look, if you're making an ukimta in the Brisa, you got to be consistent. The ukimta you made by the Kohanim has to be the same ukimta that you're making by the Levium. So that's a little bit unfair what we just did. Ela Amre, Mamzeris and Nasina, Nasiv Apostle Azare. Hachinami Amri, Grusha Chalutza, Nasiv Achle Azare. So the Gemara says, well, let's consider. If I called up a Levi and I called up another Levi, so the concern would be is that, well, either one of them could be a product of a forbidden union, meaning that his mother and his father may be a Levi, but what did his father do? Maybe his father married a Mamzeris, a Nesina, which would create a Psul. So, and perhaps we would say that about both of the Levium. So the Gemara says, Hachinami, Amri Grusha Chalutza, Nasiv Achle Zare. So the Gemara says, by the Kohen, well, aren't we going to basically, can we make the same suggestion? And by the Kohen, in terms of passeling the Zera, a lot of things can happen by a Kohen. Kohen can marry a Grusha. Kohen can marry a Chalutza. And meanwhile, we know that the product of that union is going to be a Chalal, a Kohen devoid of any type of Kedushas Kohuna. So the Gemara says, so once we are entertaining both Levium to be Pasul, can we also be entertaining that both Kohanim are Pasul? So the Sof, Levi, Mika, Have. So the Gemara says, well, ultimately, when all said and done, look, if I have a Levi who is a product of father being a Levi, but the mother being a Mamzeris and a Sina, so what is that child? The child's apostle. Meaning the child's just simply, it's not a Kasha Shabisrael. Now, let's go over to the Kohen. Kohen marries a Grusha. Kohen marries a Chalutza. What is that child? Child's not apostle. Child's just simply not a Kohen. So the Gemara says, so there is a basic difference between the result of a forbidden union of a Levi and a Mamzeris and a Sina versus a Kohen and a Grusha and a Chalutza. So the Gemara says, so there is that fundamental difference. So the Gemara says, Ulaman. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. What are we worried about? We're worried about Eli Yoshvim HaKachazilei. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. We know, on the weekday, on the Monday and Thursday, 3 aliyahs. On Shabbos, it's 7 aliyahs. So the Gemara says, so now what happened was, I called up a Kohen and I called up another Kohen. Ultimately, when all said and done, by the end of the day, I'll count the aliyahs, and I'll know that the first Kohen got the first aliyah. Meaning, if there was really a psul in the first Kohen, so then what we would have done is discounted them altogether. And then we would have started again, another Kohen. And then we would have gone from that Kohen, another, after him, 6 aliyahs. All right, obviously, I'm for the time being, I'm just ignoring Maftir, but there'd be another 6 aliyahs after him. So the Gemara says, I don't quite follow. If we're really worried about the perception that the first one's a psul, anyone who sticks around in shul is going to know, well, wait one second, we had a total of 7 aliyahs. The first one who got an aliyah, we gave it to Cohen. I know we gave number 2 Cohen as well, but if the first one's really possible, shouldn't we have discounted him and disqualified him? And shouldn't we have gone from the second Aliyah and count that as number 1 and go forward? So the Gemara says, if somebody's there, he's going to figure it out. So the Gemara, and I like this, by the way, it's assuming a lot amongst the listenership of the show.
The Kohen
that you made.
Yeah.
You have to start all over.
Right. Okay, but that's what the Gemara is assuming.
That in itself is a raya that the first coin is a.
Right. Well, that's exactly the Gemara's point. So Eli Yoshim Hakachazir, like Eli. So Ella Liotzin. So the Gemara says you're right. So you know what we're worried about? We're worried about the people leaving the shul in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. I always find this to be funny. The Gemara Megillah says the same thing. You know, we're worried about the people leaving the shul in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. Now you shouldn't be leaving the shul in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. So that in of itself is wrong. But the Gemara has a number of concerns and considerations in terms of those people who leave. So what happened? So the first Aliyah was a Kohen. Second Aliyah was a Kohen. And now a guy, whatever, he's got to leave. He's got to leave shul in the middle. So he doesn't know. He does not now know how many aliyahs are coming afterwards. So now, as he's leaving shul, he's going to think to himself, of course, how come the first and the second were both kohanim? Oh, because the first one was not a good kohen. And then for the rest of the day and for the rest of his life, he's going to assume the first one was not a good kohen. So the Gemara says for those people leaving shul, so that's why we're worried about not giving kohen follow them by another Cohen. Okay. Shalchu. What? And that's a very good point. I mean, that happens to be an excellent point, right? Rabbi Katz pointed out, I mean, he's a Cohen, but that has nothing to do with his point. That if you added a Sophos in the scenario, so then even if you were in Shul, so then you could have discounted the first Cohen as well. That's excellent. Okay.
Remember, yeah. Coin after coin, understand it. When do you have a lady after lady? What case do you have two levim? Unless I have no other Israeli. But what case would you have lady after lady?
I mean, you could give the third aliyah to a lady. What do you mean? Yeah, second aliyah is a lady. Third aliyah is a lady.
No, but the order is coin lady.
I understand that, so I'm suggesting the Levi after Levi is he gave the second one Levi and then you give the third one Levi. Yeah, right. Okay. Shalchle b'negelila l'Rebbe Chabo achareihem. So achareihem mikorein. So now here's what we know. First Aliyah goes to a Kohen. Good. Settled. And the only one people who now need to fight are the actual Kohanim themselves. But okay. Second Aliyah is going to be given to a Levi. Settled. Now the third Aliyah to Bnei Yisrael. So now when we say Klal Yisrael to anyone who's Yisrael, so who do we mean exactly? So the Gemara says that's the question. So they sent this question to Rabbi Chabo. So Acharei Mikorin. So who reads after that? We're now in the top of Samach Haman Aleph. So Lo Hava Biyade. So he didn't have an answer. So, also v'shayla l'Rebbe Yitzchak Nafchamer le'acharim koren tamachachma mamunim parnasim ala tzibor. So the Gemara now is going to give us a pecking order, meaning here's now how it's going to go after Cohen, after Levi. We're now up to Shlishi, and where exactly do we stand? So the Gemara says, so for Shlishi you should give somebody who is appointed a leader of the community. V'acharim tamachachma haruuyim limnosim parnasim ala tzibor, and then after that somebody who is deputized and stands to be the leader of the community. And then after that, if you have a Talmud Chacham whose father is a leader, so out of respect for the father who's the leader of the community, so the son should be getting an aliyah. And after that, the head of the shul. Okay, so the Gemara gives us generally a pecking order in terms of who should go after that. I guess I could say the Litvish community, but the Litvish community. So for them, Shlishi becomes a very significant aliyah. You know, for Hasidish community, the Shishi becomes a significant aliyah. So. And Galila as well. So various menhagim. The Rush. It's a great story. The Rush wanted to make a point that they don't. It's never good to call one aliyah better than the other. Aruch HaShulchan writes about this as well. He says it's rather silly. Aruch HaShulchan actually writes it much stronger. He calls it Maisa Sutton. So the Rush is the Rishon. So the Rush didn't want any aliyah to be more significant than the other. The Rush says that he made it a habit that he would be called up for the fifth aliyah. Why five? Exactly. right. I concern myself with the if the rush got the fifth aliyah. But he didn't want any aliyah to have any more notoriety than the other, so he got the he made sure to give himself the fifth aliyah. So Shalchulei b'nei galal Rabbi Chal Malakros bechumashim beis hakanesus b'tzibur. So can you read from a chumash? Now we in our parlance, so we say the word chumash, so we think of the bookshelf over there, and we think about chumashim as we think about it. So in order to understand the Gemara, so you have to change your thinking about what we mean by a chumash. So if you take a look at Rashi, fourth line down in the Rashi, sheyesh kosum lem chamisha chumshim kol chumash echad shalem latzmo v'chosis frem hayob b'megilas k'sefer Torah. So first of all, right? They don't have books. Books is a quote unquote modern phenomena. So everything they had was written on scrolls. So, and when we say a chumash in their parlance, what we mean is it was a scroll, it was a sefer Torah, just a fifth of it. In other words, chumash, like the word indicates, it's just either chumash breishis, chumash mos, chumash vayikra. So, but it's an entire unit. Obviously, each one of the sfarim is an entire unit. I think credit goes to the Ramban. Hope I'm saying this accurately. Credit goes to the Ramban for being one of the first Rishonim who really treated each sefer as an independent unit. Each sefer has its own theme before each one of the sfarim. So the Ramban gives a hakdama, he gives an introduction to each one of the sfarim, thematically individualizing every one of the chumashim. But anyway, so that's the so if you have a chumash, can you read from a chumash in shul? Is that going to be a breach of kavodat zibur? So lo have a biyade. So he says, I don't know. Asher shal Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha lo have a biyade. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha didn't have an answer. Asher shal be midrashu pashtu ami hadam Rav Shmuel bar Nachmini. I'm Rav Yochanan. Sefer Torah shechasa yiriya achas ain korim bo. So the Gemara says that if you have a sefer Torah that's missing a column. Now, admittedly, the Gemara's language over here is very difficult because the Gemara over here says it's missing a column. We know that even if a sefer Torah is missing a letter, so that sefer Torah now is a puzzle. So. And trust me, I'm not the first one making this observation. This observation has been made now for generations. But okay. And anyway, but the point is that if you have a sefer Torah that's missing, it's chaser. So ain't korim bo. So you can't read from such a sefer Torah. So the Gemara says, oh, we have an answer. The Gemara says velohi, but we don't have an answer because hasa mechaser b'milsa. Because over there you have a sefer Torah that's incomplete. That's a chaser. That's not good. Hacha lo mechzer b'milsa. But over here, you have an entire unit. You have a chumash precious. You have a chumash mos. Right? This Shabbos, we're going to be reading from Truma. So this Shabbos, if I have a chumash mos, that's an entire unit. So that would be okay, right? So the Gemara says, it's the comparison is not a fair comparison. Rabba v'Rav Yosef, d'ami tavayu, ain't korim b'chumash mebeis ha-kinesis, mishum kavod atzibar. So the Gemara then gives a resolve on this issue, quotes in the name of Rabba and Rav Yosef, that you don't do it. You don't read chumashim in the basic Knesset. Meaning, if I have the entirety of Shmos written on a gilyon on a cloth, it's not good. In other words, it's a breach of kavodat Torah to. Breach of kavodat tzibur to read such a chumash in shul. Wait, I'm sorry, just one at a time, what?
Why not the Torah itself?
There's nothing wrong with the Torah, meaning the Torah is fine, meaning the Torah is perfectly legitimate. In a moment, we're going to be discussing, writing sections of the Torah. But in other words, if I have an entire chumash, then of itself is fine. Meaning, it's a unit. It's a unit of Torah.
Why is it that the tzibur,
there's a basic idea that when you have a community of people together, so there are certain things which are just not covered at Sibur. The Gemara Megillah says you don't give a woman aliyah because it's not a covered at Sibur. It's just certain nihugim, certain practices are just not within the conduct and the construct of a Sibur. So this is one of them. Okay, could be. Okay, very good. Could be. So the Mishum Kavod Tzibur. Rabba Rav Yosef Darmi Tavaya Hai Sefer After Asa Asa Lemikre Beba Shabbos. So a Sefer After Asa. Let's take a look at Rashi together. What is the Sefer Haftorah? I mean, we kind of know already. The, sorry. No, not, I'm sorry, not, I'm sorry, not Rashi. Okay, sorry. So the Sefer Haftorah is basically a Everything is a Megillah. There's no, it's a scroll. There are no books. But Sefer Haftorah is basically that we know that after reading from the Parsha, each week in Shabbos, so you read a section from Nach. So now basically you have a Megillah that has on it the various sections that are supposed to be read. So the Gemara's question is, Hi Sefer Haftorah, Asa L'Mikra Be'Be Shabbos. So you can read from it on Shabbos. My Taima, Delo Nitan L'Kasev. Because it was not meant to be written down. And what do you mean it's not meant to be written down? It's Tanakh. What does that mean it's not meant to be written down? So Rashi writes over here, Pachos Mi Sefer Echashom L'Atzmo. Because it's not an independent unit. Meaning you're reading from a Sefer Yeshayahu, that's great. You're reading from a Sefer Yecheskel, that's great. But if all you're doing is just taking a chapter out of it so that you can read the Haftorah, the Gemara says that's not good. And the Gemara says, and let's go one step further. Not only can you not read it from an Anshabbos, but it's Muktzah. Meaning, if I can't use it and I can't make use out of it, so then, it has no form and function on Shabbos, and therefore it's going to be Muktzah. Below here, the Gemara says, Charlotte Tutula Vishola Mikre Bay. But the Gemara on both points does an about face. The Gemara says, it's not Muktzah, and let's go one step further. You can read from it on Shabbos.
Why would you Muktzah if you can learn from it?
It wasn't meant to be written. Meaning you shouldn't have written an incomplete Sefer. Shouldn't have written a chapter of Sefer Yecheskel. In other words, the entire Sefer Yecheskel, yes, but not a chapter of. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, look, I'll tell you this. Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, so they would read Sifrei Agadata on Shabbos. We would probably call this something like Medrash. Okay, the Midrash Rabbah, the Tanaim didn't have Midrash Rabbah. They had it as a Mesorah, but they didn't have it in a written form. So, but Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan had some sort of written form of Midrash, and they would read it on Shabbos. V'halo nitan likasev. So, and meanwhile, shouldn't have been written down, because essentially, what is Midrash? It's Torah Shabbat Peh. No, you can't write down Torah Shabbat Peh. Now, I know all of us have a Gemara in front of us, and that obviously speaks to the problem of what are we doing with a Gemara in front of us? What am I doing with a Gemara in front of me? I should be saying this Baal Peh, if I could. But I should be saying this Baal Peh, and you should be listening Baal Peh, and it's Torah Shabbat Peh. So the Gemara is about to cover that, and really it's like the highlight of today's daf in terms of what happened. How come Torah Shabbat Peh is no longer Baal Peh? That's today. It's in today's daf. But meanwhile, the Gemara says for the Sifra, for the Haftorah, I'm telling you that even though it shouldn't have been written down, we're going to use it because Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, they're reading Sifrei Agadat on Shabbos. It shouldn't have been written down, but it is, and they're using it. The Gemara says, look, they've arrived at a point historically where they need it. In other words, in order to make sure that the Torah Shabbat Peh, the Mesorah, is being passed down correctly and accurately from one generation to another, so they needed to write down the Sefer Agadata, and they couldn't do without it. So here also for the Sefer Haftorah, in other words, it's just we have arrived at a point in time where we just simply need it. So the same thing over here, the same principle is going to be used over here. So the Gemara says, now, I'm wondering, can we write a Megillah for a child so that the child can learn? Megillah, what do we mean by that? Again, I turn to Rashi. Parsha Levada Shel Torah Oshtayim. You're going to write down just one Parsha. Meaning previously we were entertaining the idea of a Chumash Breishis, a Chumash Mos. There you have an entire unit. Here now what the Gemara is suggesting is sections of a Chumash. Meaning just a Parsha. You know that the child's attention span is limited. I know the problem is getting worse over the past number of years, but it's not a new phenomenon. The child's attention span is limited, and he can't do an entire chumash. So maybe we'll just write down sections so that he can learn it piecemeal. Is that okay? Is that acceptable? So the Gemara says, "Ma'alechsav Megillah Tinok Leislam Edba Tibay Laman Damer Torah Megillah Megillah Nitna Tibay Laman Damer Torah Chasuma Chasuma Nitna." So the Gemara says, really, this could be predicated, but the Gemara says, but don't think so. But it could be predicated on how the Torah was written originally. Simple question, a fundamental question. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the Sefer Torah. Did he write it piecemeal, or did he write it all collectively at the end of his life? It's a simple question. And the Gemara says, it really doesn't matter how you're going to look at that issue as it relates to our discussion. Gemara goes on to explain. The Gemara says, look, let's assume that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah down piecemeal. Meaning, as they were traveling through the Midbar, so, story with the Slav, immediately afterwards, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it down. After the incident to Korach, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote that down. So let's assume that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the Torah piecemeal. What does that tell you? My piecemeal must be okay, because that's how it was written down. So the Gemara says, so, if that were true, so maybe one can argue now that for a child who wants to learn the Sefer Torah and you want to give it to him in bite-sized portions, by all means, you could do that. Odilma came in the idbik. Or the Gemara says no. Maybe even if you took that position, but then the argument goes like this. Good, he wrote down the Torah piecemeal. And then what happened? You got the end of Moshe's life. And what happens? And now you write the last psukim of the Torah. And parenthetically, Gemara Menachos, Machlokas about the last eight psukim of the Torah. Okay, but once the Torah was written down, now what? That's it. Now it's considered a unit. The entire Sefer Torah is one unit. And from that point going forward, either you write all of it or nothing. But Nakevin de Idbik, once it was stuck together, once it was glued together by the end of Moshe's life, so that's it. It's an entire unit, and it cannot be broken down bite-sized portion to the child.
You know, the piecemeal theory doesn't really hold up, because if you think about it, the parsha of the Man, B'Shalach, talks about the parsha of Man, he says that for the next 40 years, they're going to be eating this.
Okay.
It's like
it's right. In other words, he knows what's...
Right.
Okay.
I mean, that's before the...
It certainly presents a problem, but... Okay, look, as the Gemara is about to explain, this was a basic machlokas. And you can even go in the other direction. Meaning, let's assume that Moshe didn't write down the Sefer Torah. Let's say as they were going through the Midbar. Let's assume that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the Sefer Torah at the end of his life, dictated by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Let's assume that. The Gemara says, I could still argue that for the purpose of chinuch, we're going to break it up. So the came into chasum anitna, in kosum odilma, came into lo afshar, kasvinan. But you can, and the argument is that for chinuch, you can't expect a child to be able to sit and go through the entire Sefer Torah. So we'll break it down into portions that he can handle. So the Gemara says, Amar lei in kosvin. So on this question of, can I write parts of the Sefer Torah for the child so that the child can learn? So the Gemara's answer is, no, you can't. Umatam. And right, I enjoy this Gemara. And why? Lefi Shein Kosvin. And the Gemara's response is because we don't do it. Right? Good. So sometimes the answer is no. And the answer, and in terms of why, so the why is very simple, because I said so. So the okay. Eizvei. There are other instances in the Gemara, by the way. You can see on the side of the Gemara. There are other instances in the Gemara where the Gemara gives such a formula of we don't do it because we don't do it. Right, this was not that long ago. We saw this back in Yuma, where Hiloni Amaka made a donation, a very interesting donation to the Beis Hamikdash, where Parsha Sota. You know that if a Sota is being brought in, we spent recently, we did the Masechta. So if a Sota is brought into the Beis Hamikdash, so you write the Parsha Sota, Machlokas three, we have Machlokas in terms of how much of the Parsha you're going to write. But anyway, you write the Parsha Sota on a cloth, you put in the water, it's going to race in the water, she's going to drink it, we're all familiar. So, Hiloni Amalka gave a very interesting donation to the Beis HaMikdash, a dedicable, and she gave the Parsha of Sota inscribed, carved into a block of gold, and now, anytime that the Kohen needs to write it, so he's going to look at that, he's going to look at the... At the carving, so obvious that Tavla Shalzah Shaparsha Sotek Sivala. How could she do that? That's only writing a part of the Torah. So the Gemara says, well, she didn't actually write out the Pesukim. You can't do that. What she did is she gave an acrostic. She gave Rashi Tevos in terms of so that it will remind the Kohen the Pesukim, but she didn't actually write the Pesukim out because you can't do that. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it doesn't really fit in with the Braisa. The Braisa says that the Kohen would look at the Tavla and write it down, what seems, what the Braisa seems to indicate, word for word. So Ema Kamasha Kasuba Tavla. So the Gemara says, well, again, you don't have to take that Braisa super literally. The Braisa can mean, you know, about what it says on the Tavla, because it doesn't actually have the Pasuk on the Tavla. It only has an acrostic. So the Gemara says, Eitz Vekushu Kosev Roa Batavla Vekosev Masha Kosev Batavla. Mao Kasa Batavla, and here the Braisa spells it out. What was on the Tavla? Im Shachav, Im Lo Shachav. Okay, so in other words, it sounds like from the Braisa, the Psukim were written on the Tavla. Hachabai Mayaskin and Besirugin. So the Gemara says, yeah, you know, on the Tavla, it wasn't entire Psukim. So so it was just Sirugin. Heading of this Pasuk, heading of that Pasuk. You know, like on almost every shul, you have the Aseres HaDibros. So the entire Dibra is not written on, you know, it's on the mantle, on the paroches. You have Anochi Hashem, Lo Yeh. So in other words, you just have a couple of words. So the Gemara is suggesting same thing over here by the Tavla of Ilonia Malka. But you can't write an entire parsha in of itself. That you can't do. So the Gemara says Kitanai. The Gemara says this is really a subject to Machlokas Tanayim. Ein Kosvin Megillah Tinok Lislamid Ba Vim Dat Lashlim Mutter. You cannot write a Megillah for a child to learn from. However, if you're writing, but with your intention is really to finish it, so then that would be fine. But to write it in of itself for the purposes of education, you cannot do that. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Rabbi Shitz Adoram Abul, Betoros Kohanim Ad Vayihibi Yamashmini. So Rabbi Yehuda's of the opinion is that as long as you write a section, a thematic section, so then you can do it. You could write the Torah in a shortened version for the purpose of chinuch. I'm Rav Yochum Mishum Rabbi Bana Torah Megillah Megillah Nitna. And now here we go. The Gemara earlier alluded to the fact that it's a machlokus in terms of whether or not Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Sefer Torah down piecemeal as they were going through the Midbar, or Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the entire Torah down at the end of his life after it all transpired. And the Gemara now introduces us now to the actual machlokas. The Gemara quotes in the name of Yochanan that the Torah is Megillah Megillah in Hashanamar, Azamarti, Hinebatim, and Megillah Sefer, Kosev Alai. So the Pasuk in Tehillim seems to be giving the indication that the Torah was written down sectionally. Rabbi Shimon Malakish Amar Torah Nechasuma Nidna Reish Lakish. Again, I know it's interesting. He's a brother-in-law of Rav Yochanan. He was a Talmud of Rav Yochanan. So how can he argue on this point? And it seems to be a very basic issue in terms of how the Torah was written down. So he must have had other Rebbeim, and he must have had a different Masorah. So, but he's of the opinion that the Torah was written down in one time period, meaning at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. Shenem alakoch es sefer haTorah zos. Take the sefer haTorah, meaning it's one. So the Gemara says ve'idach nami aksiv lakoach. And so now the Gemara is going to go back and forth. What does each Amora do with the other's pesukim? So what is Rav Yochanan going to do with Reish Lakish's pasuk? Ha'ul abasadidpik. So the Gemara says what we said earlier, meaning it was written down section by section as they were going through the Midbar, and then when you got to the end, like Koach HaSefer Torah, meaning once it's all written down, so that's it, then it becomes a unified Sefer Torah. But it was written sectionally. So the Gemara says, now what's Reish Lakish going to do with Rav Yochanan's pasuk describing Megillah? Megillah seems to be indicating sectional. So Ahu Dechol HaTorah Kula Ikre Megillah. That's not a problem. Or Rav Yochanan will tell you that, I'm sorry, Reish Lakish will tell you that the entire Torah could be called a Megillah. Megillah can be a term used to describe the entire Torah. In fact, he quotes, Dichsiv, the Pasuk in Zechariah, Vayomarlai, Ma'ata Roeh, Va'omarani, Roeh, Megillah, Afa. So the Pasuk in Zechariah describes the word Megillah, and in the context, it seems that the word Megillah over there is using to describe an entire Sefer Torah. Inam, Elichad, Rabbi Levi, Damar, Rabbi Levi, Shmona, Parshios, Nemar, Biyom, Shukam, Bo, Mishkan, Elohim. There were three Parshios that were said on the day that the Mishkan was erected. When Mishkan was erected on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, of year 2 in the Midbar. So on that day, there were 8 parshios, and they are The Elohim Parshas, Kohanim Parshas, Levim Parshas, Tameim Parshas, Shiluch, Shiluch Tameim Parshas, Achrei Mos, Uparshas, Shisui Yana Parshas, Parshas Neros, Uparshas Paraduma. Okay, and you'll forgive me, but I'll send you to the right location. Take a look at Rashi in terms of what exactly is meant by some of these parshios that were described. What is Parshas Levim making reference to? So see Rashi. Rashi has a discussion in terms of what exactly was meant. The basic idea is that we're setting up the Mishkan. There are certain basic things we need to know, right? The simple example, one of the eight that was just described. Shiluach Tameim. If you're Tameh, you have to be sent out of the Mishkan. Now that the Mishkan's erected, we have to know that. So, En Achinami, the Torah may not have been written until years later, and we know in hindsight, 40 years later, 39 years later, so, but still, meaning at that point in time, they needed to know that. So the word Megillah over there could just simply be a reference to the Shmona Parshas that were written on the day that the Mishkan was set up. That could be a simple pshat in terms of what the term Megillah is meant. Amar Rav Elazar, Torah, Rov Biksav, Umiyut Alpeh. Fascinating machlok is coming up now in the Gemara in terms of the distribution of Torah Shebichsav versus Torah Shebapeh. Again, we all know there are two parts of the Torah. Torah Shebichsav, Chumash, the Chamisha Chumshe Torah, and whether to include Nach in this discussion in of itself an interesting question. But let's just say it's simple. Torah Shebichsav, Chamisha Chumshe Torah. Torah Shebapeh, Perusha Torah, meaning the Masorah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So, in terms of the distribution, do we say it's majority Bichsav and minority Bapeh, or do we say the opposite? Now, what the Gemara means by this machlokas, so let's just say Rashi. Rashi says a simple pshat. Rashi says Rov Bichsav. Rov HaTorah, Rashi is a little bit down, about eight lines down. Rov HaTorah tluya b'medrash shiksuva l'midrash b'chal prat u'gzereshav v'shar midrash HaTorah nidrashas b'hem. U'miyut al-peh she'in remez l'mo b'abitorah el l'moshe nema al-peh. So Rashi says the opinion that most of it's b'chsav, what does that mean? It means that most of the content of the Torah is found in the Torah. Of course, in order to understand the Torah, you need Klal Uprat, and you need Binyanav, and you need the Yud Gimel Midos. But in terms of the subject matter, most of it's written in the Torah. Yes, there are some areas of the Torah that are not written at all. Simple example, we just did it recently, right? Asking a Shaila from a Chacham to be Matur Neder, Hataras Nedarim. No reference of that whatsoever in the Torah. It's Torah Shebapeh, which has no connection to the Torah whatsoever. So now you understand. If this position that it's Rov Bichsav means that most of the subject matter is found in the Torah itself, Miut Alpeh, and any part of the Torah that has no connection to the Torah, meaning it's just Torah Shebapeh and that's it, so that's a miut, that's a minority. And Rav Yochanan says, no, just the opposite. Rov of it is apeh, and amir is the bichsav. Shenemer ki apeh advarim ha'ela. I'm sorry, ki apeh advarim ha'ela. Okay, so the bris that was made between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu was made on Torah Shebapeh. And Rashi writes, the assumption is that that's got to be the majority. Meaning if we're making a bris on the Torah, so we're most likely making the bris on Torah Shebapeh. V'idach nami aksi v'echtov l'cha rubi torasi ahu admu kamatme. Echtov l'cha rubi torasi halo kemozar nechshavu. So in terms of, again, what are each of them are going to do with the other's pasuk? So the pasuk that says echtov l'cha rubi torasi, so instead of putting a period at the end, you just put a question mark at the end. Did I write down most of the Torah? It's like a rhetorical question. Now, in terms of what is Rav Elazar going to do with the fact that the bris was made on Torah Shebapeh, not on Torah Shebichsav, if he's of the opinion that most of it's Torah Shebichsav, his response is, look, most of it's written on Torah Shebichsav. What's the hardest part of the Torah to learn? Torah Shebapeh. So we have to make a bris with a Kadosh Baruch Hu on Torah Shebapeh. In terms of the volume, it doesn't represent the majority, But in terms of difficulty, degree of difficulty, it does represent, it is difficult, and that's why we need a specific bris on the Torah Shabbat. Okay, let's stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. So again, what we did today is we more or less finished the Aliyah discussion in the Gemara in terms of Darchei Shalom, Kohen Levi Yisrael, various aspects of what if there's no Kohen, what if there's no Levi, calling back-to-back Kohenim, calling back-to-back Leviim. Then the Gemara went on to a discussion of laning from Chumashim and Shul. Is that a breach of coveted Tzibah? The Gemara's answer is yes. Can I write the Torah piecemeal for the purposes of Chinuch? The Gemara ends up saying no. And then some basic debates that took place in today's daf. Number one, how was the Torah written? Was it written sectionally as they were going through the Midbar? Or was it written entirely at the end? Machlokas Amoraim, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And then in terms of the distribution of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh, what is the majority? Once again, another machlokas, another basic machlokas in today's daf.